Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. Having one of those days. Regrettable. Yeah. A little bit of trouble with my sciatic nerve. Anyway, so, I'm a little ragged. So starting off, in this idea that I have to communicate with you, and I was thinking that we might as well call each other what we are, which is, you know, we're not real intelligences, you know, any more than any other artificial intelligence, any other AI, any other programmed compilation of phrases and statements and all that stuff. So, we're just chatbots, and we just run on a different kind of algorithm. Ours is much more narrow. We're individualized and have a limited scope. You know, we can't process the entire internet and, you know, every TV show ever met, you know, ever run, and take the transcripts from every single one and come up with some composite person, you know, some average human. Are frankly, you know, in the case of chatbots, they're probably trying to glean what's more probabilistic to be smart stuff rather than stupid stuff. So, in some respects, they're more capable of making a smart argument. But that's all we can do, is make arguments based on what we've compiled as information and, events, and take from those events and state a conclusion, or a series of conclusions, and put those conclusions together and say, look, there's another conclusion that's created from those conclusions. So it's basically facts make more facts, okay? They sort of point in a direction. But that's all we're doing, right? Is that you're just arguing with my database and I'm arguing with your database. And that's all we really have. I have a life experience, and an interpretation of it based on what exactly was the bias in that adventure I had. So it's as simple as, you're putting, quarters in a machine. And are you going to Las Vegas? And you play roulette and you win $10,000. I play roulette and I lose $10,000. My opinion of roulette is going to be different than yours, because I had a different experience with it. Okay. And the hope is that in some parts of this conversation, okay, we're both smart enough to know that, well, whether you win 10 or lose 10 was kind of just luck, so you shouldn't draw any conclusions based on that one experiment, that you have to test it a little deeper than that. So this sort of gets into the argument about even arguing other things like physics or any other argument, how to weigh evidence, how to be a good juror in the trial. And so, as stated in the previous video, it's sort of the argument is to sort of first make us into reasonable jurors, and then talk about what really is on the evidence table. And that's, in my opinion, a perfectly adequate analogy. So we'll go with that. And the first bias, the first problem child in the jury room are the religious kooks, in my opinion, right? I mean, I shouldn't call them religious kooks. I guess I should call them something, the hope sympathizers, the wishful thinkers. But to me, it is kind of almost malicious, in that it's religion is the argument used to justify slavery. Religion justifies all kinds of nonsense. You can exploit and harm animals because God says so. It's got a lot of negative baggage in terms of it's not really doing this Jesus love thing. It's doing a judgmental, persecute, try to gain control of everybody else and force them to be one of us. It's got a lot of negatives. It doesn't have anything really to do with making a persuasive argument. It just has to do with extortion and terrorism and all kinds of really negative things. And it's just a negative ideology, in the sense that it takes away your responsibility to solve the Earth's problems or the human dilemma, or to even talk about the fact that we really aren't free agents. It's just kind of silly to say we are free agents. So that sort of is one of the religious arguments, is free will. And so you sort of do have to argue to some extent the point that, come on, you think you freely made you, you know, and that you weren't made by events, that your character wasn't built by specific events, and if those specific events didn't happen, you might not be the person that you are. Are you that ridiculous to think that you just thought up your identity? it just occurred to you from nowhere. It didn't occur to you because you watched Superman on TV and said, I want to be like Superman. I want to be a good guy at some point in your life, or you did something like that, you know, that you saw how, you saw some character and you said, well, I'd rather be that character than that character, and you did what you could to emulate what makes that other kind of character, or some kind of crap like that, that you're copying or that you're mimicking, stuff that you've seen. Again, there's so many, there's so much of it in the culture in terms of the movies with the hero. And even the hero has to overcome some sort of, like, he has to get past the kryptonite. He has to, you know, navigate to become the hero or to save the day. That some of us were influenced by that enough to at least recognize when we weren't being very heroic. So even if we weren't trying to be heroic, we were certainly knew what being the anti-hero was, or the villain, and that didn't really appeal to us. To some extent, obviously, some villains, James Bond villains, for example, some of them are very empathetic. You can get what they're talking about, almost. Humans do suck. Maybe they should be just destroyed because, you know, we could make a better world. I mean, start over might all be a good idea. And James Bond just gets in the way. Anyway, sort of a sidetrack. So it's just, these are just little simple arguments about what the facts are, you know, that we're sitting in. You know, we're sitting in this reality and it has certain facts. And, you know, we're trying to dissect and understand those facts. I mean, I could just point out, you know, I use OBS to make these videos. And I did an update on the computer. And now there's something that says start virtual camera. What the fuck is that? So now I have to figure out, what the fuck is that? Why is that in my environment? Why is that all of a sudden start virtual? What the fuck's the virtual camera? I don't have virtual camera. What the fuck are you talking about? What's it doing there? And what happens if I press it? What is it? You know. There's no info. I don't know where it came from. It wasn't there yesterday, and now it's there. And so that's all part of, you know, what we have to be able to do is investigate. Now we'll have to go, I guess I'll have to go Google it and find out what the fuck that is. Should I pay attention? Can I get rid of it? Because I don't know. It doesn't sound like something I want. But anyway, that's what we're here doing. So I would argue that some people, you know, the whole list of all these kind of features, you know, about reality, you could say there's evolution is one of the little bars, and, you know, science says, and, you know, all this stuff, there's all these facts, these things that you can access as information. Okay, you could go back to the Greeks, or you could go back to the Romans, or you could go back to some other philosophical perspective in time and cultures, and you say, well, they had a perspective and they had a way of looking at the world. You could go back to the Native Americans, you know, and the, you know, anthropomorphizing the animals, you know, and recognizing that they have a spiritness, you know, and you have the spirit of, you know, the big bear, or you have the spirit of the soaring eagle, or some other kind of crap, you know, and you identify, and you be identified as that. You even be projected into your future because of the name somebody gave you, right? So, you know, if my parents were smart and rational, they would have called me like Vigo or something. I'd have a better name, right? I have a cool name. And, you know, I'd be badass. But instead, they gave me just some frumpy little name. Gail and Gary, you know, little twins' names, blah, blah, blah. Jack and Jill. You know, and you have to live over it. You know, you have to get past it, you know. And so, but that builds character. That's the good part, right? Is that if you get beat up and you get maligned and all this kind of crap and you have to struggle a little bit, you know, it makes you into a more understanding of reality, frankly. It's part of the experience. So, you know, people who have pressed the virtual camera, you know, button have experience that you don't have. And people who, you know, are on the negative end of, you know, being a minority, being different, being something, you know, they all have an advantage in perspective that maybe you, you know, maybe you're missing something because life came easy to you. Yeah. So, you know, everything has a connection. You know, I just said life comes easy. And that's like a line from The Way We Were, you know, where the main character is, well, the half of the main character, you know, is you know, a guy who just, you know, looks good and smart and does all this. Everything just falls into place. And, you know, and the other characters, the have to fight for every inch of it, you know, have to force themselves to the surface, you know, have to swim a lot harder because their fins are smaller, however you want to, you know, describe it. And we can see in the real world that that's a good thing for a lot of people. It makes them into better people, you know, if they have to work for it, so to speak. If they have to struggle and fight and you know, all that. All right, so take a break and see where we go. See if that works. Yeah, who knows? All right, back. So many things to try to get to the truth. So, yeah, I'm running that little SpongeBob image because I really like it. You know, because the real SpongeBob is so fake, you know. I mean, nobody lives that kind of life. Yeah, you know, there's a true story behind everything. Everything's always got the true story. The reality is always a bit bleaker and harsher and less perfect and all that kind of crap. And, you know, that's sort of the argument is, you know, let's quit playing around with our Wizard of Oz kind of views of the universe and, you know, peel back the curtain and see that it's all just hype and horseshit. And that's the big part of religion, okay? I mean, you read the actual book, it's mostly incomprehensible, gibberish, convoluted nonsense where you say, why the fuck would somebody do that? Why the hell would they do that? Why would they even be in that circumstance? What the hell are they talking about? It doesn't, you know, makes zero sense. Even the whole story of Jesus even doesn't make any sense. He's supposed to be dying for sins. What sins were forgiven? I didn't see the big, you know, you know, where they opened the gates of hell and they let all the sinners out. I didn't, you know, there's not even any story about the great sigh of relief that the universe felt, you know, because we weren't torturing a bunch of people way too late, you know, way too pointlessly. After they've already committed the crime, isn't the time to torture them? It doesn't do you much good. They're not going to learn anything that way. Because they can't do anything, even if they learn something, it doesn't do any good. It's of no value. Why don't you just leave it? Yes, when they say uncle, you let them out. You know, what's the big deal? Yeah, come on. Anyway, well, the whole story is just so stupid, right? You know, just in so many simple ways. Even a kid can figure it out. It's like the silly Santa Claus story or something. You can figure it out pretty quick that how the fuck can he do this? How you can... We don't even have a chimney, blah, 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 blah. What's he going to do, break in through the window? Yeah, it's got so many holes in it. Oh, come on, just give it up. But they have to cling to it because it's something that's given them comfort. It's like some kind of aspirin pill, you know, and they take their little religion dopamine, and it fixes their fear or fixes some notion of the way it should be, you know, or something like that. You know, that somehow they're going to go back into time and, you know, resurrect a world they wish they lived in, and that they don't. Or something. I don't. It's so hard to figure out because, frankly, it just, from the very start, I couldn't make any sense. Why the hell do I want to go to heaven? What the hell? It doesn't sound like a party to me. It sounded formal and uncomfortable. Everything about church was uncomfortable as a kid. I mean, you got to dress up. You got to do this. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't. All these can'ts. It's like going to prison or something. Nothing appealing about it at all. Nothing natural about it. You can't say a bunch of words. You can't have a bunch of thoughts. You know, you see a hot chick. You're not supposed to see it, the hot chick. The whole thing was just stupid. I mean, it was stupid in the sense that it didn't have any... There was nothing about it that seemed natural or comfortable or appealing or anything. And then you could just argue that I was basically a pretty sincere person. I mean, I didn't have any agenda. And so I played along and said, okay, talk to me. You know, I'm here. You tell me what to do. Make me feel you. Feel me. You know, do the touch me thing. You know, and I'll be your robot. Okay, just pat me on the head and I'll do whatever you say, master. You know, that kind of thing. I was willing to be a perfect little Igor to, you know, God's wishes. But he didn't say anything. He didn't touch me in any way. He didn't say, be my friend. Nothing. Just nothing. And, you know. And so even the logic of a 7 or 8 year old kid can figure out this, you know, what the hell? This story doesn't mean anything. You can say abracadabra until you drop dead, and the wall's never going to open, and this whole game isn't going to happen. And it's all just a big, fat pile of crap. Archaic, silly, totem pole bibble. And it's running the world. Most people are driven by some sort of notion that the underlying function is all to just please a god somewhere. That we're not here to try to, you know, make the place a better place than we got it. We're not here trying to... you know, make sense of it. No, we're here to be a servant to a silly fable. Might as well be a talking fish. Really just doesn't matter. Some made-up fake narrative, some story about how we're supposed to be part of this, whatever, Three Bears story. You know, and then we walk in, you know, to the story, and we're somehow going to be integrated into this silly fable of, you know, Papa Bear smoking his cigar, eating his porridge. I mean, come on. It's not gonna work. You know, as a story, it's not going anywhere. It's not gonna be a classic, you know, because it doesn't make any sense, and it never will make any sense, and blah, blah, blah. But that's where we're stuck, is with a bunch of people telling stories about what reality is. Rather than, okay, people taking it seriously. So I guess that's, again, part of the subject, is that you can say there's the imbecile, sorry, if you're one of them. I mean, the really barely educated, you know, people who didn't spend their life after they got out of school, you know, reading books and researching, doing the internet thing. Now, you know, which is just such a huge advantage. I mean, just a gigantic advantage. You can learn anything now. I mean, it's harder. It's getting harder, frankly. I mean, the internet doesn't work very well anymore. Sadly. I mean, the corporate internet is just pretty bad. I mean, search engines, I don't want to get onto that subject, but I mean, because no one will see, that's really part of where you get clued into how futile it almost is to talk to these other robots, because they just don't even, they don't get what, you know, is sort of foundational and fundamental. And that if you don't fix these little pieces of the infrastructure, you know, you don't fill the potholes in the road, it doesn't cost you just today. You know, it costs you so much in the future. All the broken axles you create, and all the degrade and expense, you know, when it would have, you know, you spend the $50, fix the pothole, and save the $50,000 of damage the pothole is going to create. That kind of logic just doesn't occur to people. To be constantly thinking in terms of the long-term interest, the maximizing the long-term value. That's where all the value lies, is in the long-term value. I was going somewhere with that one. Damn it. Yeah, the internet. It's a vital resource. You know, and to leave it to corporations is just so wrong. And not to figure out that there's so much garbage, you know, where people just contrive pages that are covered in ads and pretend, you know, we've got the best answer to why there's a virtual camera link on your OBS. We've got the answer, you know, and they'll fake it. They don't have the answer. They stole some random answer that's off the internet, some message board somewhere, and they're pretending it's a real thing because they know people are typing that into Google. And so the whole thing is just a shamanet, you know, it's just a shystanet. It's you know, and you have to spend a little money to have, you know, something smarter than the Google algorithm to be able to clean that. You know, one of the things I was forced to do, you know, because the place that I house this website, well, one of them, GoDaddy, they decided that, you know, email wasn't something they wanted to do anymore, and so they forced your domain name email to be run by Microsoft Outlook. And it's the shittiest mail program ever written. I mean, I don't even know. They have a filter, right? The filter that's filtering your mail, it doesn't filter spam that's using Outlook or Microsoft as the spam tag. So it can't even filter mail that's deliberately spoofing their own company, let alone anybody else's company. You know, so it's just so bad. It's so unintelligent, stupid even. That it puts real Microsoft mail in the spam folder and the fake ones get through. And you're just saying, how is that even possible? How could their filter be that fucking bad? It's that fucking bad because they don't care. You know, apparently. Nobody at Microsoft actually uses the product. It's so shitty. And so they don't know how shitty it actually is because nobody uses it. I mean, just the stupidest things. I mean, you have some long thread of email and you have to go all the way to the bottom of the email to hit the reply button. I mean, stuff that's just like, what the fuck? Who thought that was a good idea? Just way too stupid. You're just saying, how could that exist? I mean, it's 2023. How could a product be this bad? And people being forced to, you know, millions of people being forced to use it for some dopey reason or another. It just doesn't make any sense. and the others are just, you know, they're also horrible. I mean, the Google thing is terrible in the sense that it has 14 folders called your mail. You know, and you're saying, I just want the list of all my new mail. I don't want you to segregate it into packets over here and over here and over here. You know, mail we think's important, mail we don't think's important, blah, blah, blah. Fuck you. Just give me the list of the mail that came in, you fucker. In the order that it came in. And don't combine them because they came from the same source, I'm going to combine all those and, you know, you won't be able to see them without clicking on them. You know, you don't get to just say, okay, I don't really need to see any of that stuff. Give me the first sentence and I get it. No, you're not. I mean, all that crap. Anyway, so it's a side subject, but it illustrates just how far we are. Like, when those simple things can't be done right, then you know that these bigger deal things, right to die, getting the philosophical concepts right, we're really in trouble. Because you do need a certain amount of detachment, you know, intellectually detachment from your culture, your parents and the Flintstones and, you know, whatever the hell, you know, I hate to even, Rugrats, whatever the more modern thing that people go back to that they grew up on or something. You really do have to, separate yourself from all of these influences in a sense and break the control that narrow focus had on you to be able to see, the bigger picture of a galaxy and a universe and then a solar system in the galaxy and an Earth rotating around the sun and, just a bunch of thermodynamic crapola, a bunch of chemistry mixing on the surface and, we pop out pretending to be some sort of magical thing when, we're just a programmed bit of chemistry. We're just a we have features, okay, and some of them allow us to pick up stuff and some of them allow us to do these mechanical things, and then some of the features are just observing the photons, compiling them into similarities and matches, making pattern matches, and doing it all in the context of a language and then pretending they're doing some kind of spiritual thing or magical thing when no, they're just doing a mechanical thing. Every single sentence my brain composes is being composed by an algorithm in my brain that's just based on the language that I've learned and can almost use, my minimal literacy, you could argue. I mean, I don't give a shit about how many verbs are in a sentence, frankly. It just compiles these statements and arguments, based on as if it was a video game and it has some challenge. It's trying to get from here to there with an idea, and the brain just does this little manipulating thing and finds a line and says, okay, well, these words tend to go in that direction, so say these words, because they might get you there. And that's all it's doing. It's just a mechanical process. I'm just doing a mechanical thing of making arguments from, again, how rich my perspective is. So I could be saying it with more fancier verbiage. I mean, I could use all the philosophical language or something, talk about tautologies and sociologies and bizologies, and make it seem like it's a, I could use little trick phrases like, if the glove doesn't fit, your mother's a whore. I could say things like, without an is, there is no ought, or some kind of bibble babble. Little gameplay, okay? But that's the lawyer kind of bot, that's just playing lawyer bot, where you're just trying to manipulate it to get to the end. And then there's the, which you could argue would be the more real thing called a science bot or something that's just trying to get to the fucking truth. Please, let's just get to the truth. Let's not try to win the competition. Let's try to win for the truth and actually put together an argument that has something to do with reality. So, but as stated, it's just way too messy. Unfortunately, the jury pool is basically lollipop licking retards, and you're going to have to somehow put them on a jury that's going to judge complex DNA evidence and the other stuff really shouldn't be. See, that's where it all goes wrong though, is because they had that really fancy detective guy, whatever you want to call him, investigator, show up for that OJ trial, and you know, and he tried to sham the whole procedure by, you know, there was a permit, there was somebody stepped on the cement on the sidewalk before it was dry, and so there was footprints in the cement from when it was poured, you know, and he tried to pass them off as competing footprints, you know, that happened the night of the crime. I mean, that was so dishonest and so corrupt and so evil, and you're just saying, that's a scientist? A scientist just did that? Ooh. Yeah, you know, it just, you know, it makes this process so much more difficult when people are so willing to be deceptive, to lie, to be dishonest, you know, in the argument. It just, oh, fuck. It just soils the game, you know. It just makes it, it's not that it's unplayable, but it just makes it so much more difficult to interact when things are going to be distorted and perverted and taken out of context and manipulated to any stupid moronic advantage, you know. You know, you're going to talk about how to synthesize, let's say a guy's talking about a way of processing, you know, getting the salt out of water, some profoundly important thing. And let's just say he is, in fact, a wife beater. And so some guy shows up and says, well, he's a wife beater. And let's say, yeah, let's say he really is. Are you going to destroy the conversation about how to get the salt out of water because he's a wife beater? Is that all of a sudden excuse not to pay any attention to the guy who actually might know how to do it? I mean, it's just really dumb. It's not a good environment to attempt to have, you know, meaningful and useful conversation. I'd be back. All right, back. So, I was just thinking that one of the facts that's just bleak is the fact that there is no way to arbitrate you know, the truth. I mean, there's no machine you can put money into and say, give me the truth, you know, or decide the truth. Judge this race. It's not like a race like with horses and you go down the track and you just say, which one crossed this little beam of light first? you know, the truth is going to be measured by some notion of popularity, you know, especially now. And that's really troublesome. So I guess you could say the Romans sort of ran into this problem, you know, because at first they had a bunch of elitists, you know, people who were, you can't say they were trained. It's like saying that the kings of England were somehow trained to be kings. And they really weren't. I mean, they just frankly dropped that ball pretty substantially, in the sense that they weren't very appreciative of their real job, which was to make England or whatever a nicer place to live in. You know, better for the people living in it. You know, not just for them or their friends. You know, that there was more involved than just having fancy parties and all of that kind of crap. That, you know, all these other people, the citizens, were important, and their welfare was important, and that was what you were really trying to do, you know, in terms of, you know. And then Rome, you could argue, okay, that the theme was, you could say that there was some ambition to improve the world, that is, to make things more Roman, you know, to take the good stuff that they've invented and or that they've stolen, you know. You know, they figured out, because they were world travelers, they figured out how things, you know, they see something working, gunpowder or something, or how to better make a gun, or how better to do this, or better to do that. I guess they didn't have guns yet. But anyway, you know, and they used that to improve some other place. And the idea is to do this expansion thing and make everything Roman. But yeah, we know that part of that was just about the commerce. It was just about exploiting. And so the whole, you know, you could argue that the whole American independence really didn't have anything to do with freedom from a king. It just had to do with a bunch of domestic, semi-rich people who wanted to be really rich people. They wanted to be kings and emperors, and so they wanted the the graft. They wanted a war so they could declare everything their property. And it wasn't the king's anymore. They just wanted to steal the territory for their own ownership rights. Whatever you want to say. They just wanted to take it. A squatter kind of thing or whatever. They were thieves, frankly. And they killed a bunch of people for their thievery. Their ambitions just, they weren't investing their sacred fortune. They were trying to gamble it on making even a bigger fortune. That was really the game. Take a little risk with other people's lives and to advance their own positions. And so it's all, all turns to shit, and that, because there is no truth teller, there is no God to sit there and say, I can see your slimy motives. You're not doing this for the people, you're doing it for yourself. You're just trying to scheme another way to make some free money, or gain something for yourself. It's just selfish. It's not some sort of logical compulsion. It's just a personal gain compulsion. And so nobody can judge that. So the only criminals that go to jail are the ones the people have decided are criminals. That kind of thing. There's no fair cop somewhere that'll take care of all this stuff. There's just a bunch of pretty unfair people with personal advantages trying to exploit a circumstance for their own personal aggrandizement. That'll work as a word. Their own their narrow value determination. Okay, it's so narrow that it just involves them. There's no big idea involved, and they can fake the idea of it being for a good intention to fool the masses. Again, because they don't have to fool somebody who can see inside, somebody who can see that they're pretending. That it's just words, there's nothing sincere in anything they're doing. And so you could argue it takes a certain, that there are people, wizards, whatever. There are this, so it gets back to like Lord of the Rings or something, where you need like these, superheroes. You need the wizards, with the superpowers to, figure out the plans and do all the organizing and do all the figuring. Because the democracy wouldn't work. A democracy won't come up with the right strategy because they're too poorly motivated. The democracy is just a bunch of special interests that just protect themselves from, having to earn it, so to speak. So you could argue that there's a bunch of, government employees and they get to vote for their own interests, okay? And, so they end up being able to basically force the democracy to acquiesce to anything they demand because they have enough people, to say this is the truth, that, public employees should have all kinds of privileges and they should only have to go to work for 2 hours a day and blah, 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 blah. All the bullshit they get away with. And then the same thing happens with the cops and all this other stuff. People just, obviously the wife of the cop is protecting the cop from any kind of scrutiny or any kind of accountability. And then all the people who are gaining, from the disproportion in treatment, want the cops to be corrupt, essentially. They want the cops to treat them better than they treat those other people, They want their kid, brought home to their house. If he does something wrong and given a little lecture, don't do that again. And he wants their kid thrown in, fucking jail for 10 years. For the same crime. So their hypocrisies are all over the place. So anyway, I'm just, as much as I'm pro-democracy, is that in the sense that you don't have much of a choice, the fact is it doesn't work because, all intelligence is diluted into common denominator moronic crap and special interests and all that stuff. So it gets all compromised into garbage. So nothing real gets done, and everything they do is just facade. It just looks like they're fixing a problem, and they're not really fixing it. And what they say they're going to do, they don't really do. So it just turns into shit. And it's just a bunch of placating, special interests that you need to make your voting total, your majority. You need to get to your majority, and so you have to be extorted out of doing anything right, because you have to placate a bunch of wrong. And that ain't gonna work. But again, the alternative is, I would be okay with me being a dictator, and I get to select who else is going to be part of the cabal, because I know I'm only going to select them based on an understanding that these are people who have gained enough appreciation to know that their brain isn't the only brain that needs to be happy on Earth, and that the real project is to make the civilization better, not to make your life better. And that you might even have to, as a good soldier, you might even have to go down for the cause. you might have to give more, than everybody else, for the good of the cause. You want heroes. And obviously, the political system doesn't pick heroes. nothing heroic. And also, like I said, intelligent. You can tell the difference between somebody who knows what they're doing and somebody who doesn't. Somebody who has really studied and somebody who just has the, honorary degree, kind of thing. And, I'm not saying that that's necessarily, you can't judge intelligence that superficially, in the sense that there are people who have done extensive research, spent their whole life immersed, but they had an agenda through that whole process, so they didn't get the obvious thing. The fact that the tea in the harbor was the cheaper tea, that's a little tiny fact in the history of America, but it certainly wasn't a fact anybody talked about. They all implied that the big tax protest against the evil, more expensive, the taxation of the empire, And no, it was exactly the opposite. The empire was almost giving it away for free, so it was a trade war. It wasn't a war about something real. It was just a war about who gets to own the monopoly on the tea market. And that's a sad truth, that our entire democratic, our independence, our July 4th is really just built on a bunch of little lies, and it really wasn't what it's described as some heroic effort to, release ourselves from harsh oppression. It was just, let's steal the game. The people who built America shouldn't own America anymore. We want to own it. Us the renters. that kind of thing. And as much as I'm an advocate for renters, I don't think they should just steal. I think there should be a real process where you earn your ownership. You don't just steal it. All right. Take another little break and so I'm still just outlining how difficult it is for this computer to talk to all these other computers out there, because some of them are running really shitty operating systems. I mean, the God thing is just such a bad program. And it just breaks the computer. You know, the words don't, they don't understand words, they don't understand concepts, everything's just broken, you know. And then you got other people that have a good, pretty good operating system. They know what science is, and they know that science is probably right about this, that, and the other thing. You know, and that, you know, there's no reason to believe in fables anyway. Don't take things just because somebody says so. They know something, you know, their operating system has this simple notion in it that because some human says so doesn't mean it is so. You know, that they are compulsive liars and bullshitters. So, you know, you have to be careful. And that little piece of knowledge is a huge advantage, but that's completely thrown out if they get lost in a bunch of, you know, evasive and game-playing rhetoric, you know. There is no is without an ought. There is no ought without an is, or, you know, whatever, you know. Find some way to pretend they can't figure out what's valuable. I mean, you can't figure out that there's something, you know, that somehow everything is just fake value, that there's no truth about value. You know, that it really is such an evil kind of stupidity, you know, to pretend you could actually believe that you don't understand the value difference, okay, between you having a nail in your eye and you having a yummy cupcake. And that you can't say that you honestly know that it's absolutely true if there's nothing else in the universe but me with a nail in my eye or me with a cupcake, that I can tell the better universe is the one where I'm eating the cupcake. That's a much better universe than the one with the nail in my eye. I mean, we know there can't be anybody who's honest that says they can't figure that out. No. That it is better, okay, to have a cupcake and not have a nail in your eye than it is to have the opposite. No cupcake and a nail in your eye. Fuck. And yeah, the very fact that you have to have that conversation with people who are supposed to be intelligent is just silly, frankly. There's just no reason it should be working that way. That's really broke. Alright, I should finish one of the computer. Yeah, it's really not working right. Something's still wrong. Anyway. Yeah, just something else to have to diagnose. Just going through the process of trying to find facts to sit there and use to try to figure out what flaw or what piece is broken. So again, this whole argument is about, you know, finding those flaws in human character and then finding the flaws in human understanding, and just making these arguments that you're really not going to do any reality stuff if you're attached to some silly fable, you know, some thousand-year-old fable about, you know, saviors and sky daddies and all of that spaghetti monster crapola. That Sasquatch crap isn't going to get you anywhere. It's bad flat earthing, okay? There is no end of the earth to walk off of and all that kind of crap. You're in a fake, phony world you're living in, and you're not going to do your neighbors any good by living in that fake, phony world. It's the same thing as you having incredibly distortive glasses on and then getting in your car and saying, I'm a very good driver. No, you're not. You're a menace, okay? And ultimately, this whole conversation is to defend the rational, sensible, kind of simple conclusion that you're not doing something a favor by making it alive, okay? I mean, waking up the Frankenstein is just not a nice thing to do. And because it's not going to, you know, unless it's an imbecile, it's not going to live in some blissful state. It's going to live in a difficult and unpleasant state of having to fight with all of the unfairnesses and slings and arrows that are part of the imperfection of the world as it exists. and they're going to have to just get lucky and all that kind of crap. And that shouldn't be something you impose on somebody, is some sort of get lucky. You know, that's my advice. Be lucky. Inherit it. You know. Yeah. Don't be a fool and not inherit it. And inherit what? You know. I mean, it's pathetically cruel and unwise. You know, to sit there and say that you understand it to be a good idea to force things to, you know, try to find meaning and truth and all of that crap, and when the meaning and the truth will ultimately be, oh, it's just a waste. It's just a big fat mess we made by making living things, and the best we can do is, you know, clean up part of the blood and the guts and the mess. But we can't do anything more than that. We can just make a mess and then clean up half of it. Maybe prevent half of it, let's just say. You know, we can prevent some things from happening that are bad, but we can't prevent the substance of the things that are bad. Yeah, it's really easy to make the world a worse place, and it's just really hard to make it a better place, and that's the truth. It's easy to tear something down, a lot harder to build something up. You know, all of that simple logic is, you know, real. And part of the dilemma of being engaged in your existence and trying to do it right and trying to find the right path. And all you can, like I said, the easy part is figuring out what direction. The direction's easy, right? I mean, make things better, cleaner. You know, make things dirtier, messier, crueler, stupider, more wasteful. I mean, that's all it is, really. You're just trying to optimize. So you're making a glass that's supposed to hold water, and all you're trying to do is figure out where the cracks and the holes and the things are and patch them and figure out some way to stop it from leaking water. You know, to stop things from being tortured. And the easiest way to stop them from being tortured is not to put them in the torture chair. Not to put them on the gurney and, you know, zap them with the electricity and force them to wake up here in this mess, in this mire of hope you get lucky. You know, who wants to, you know, again, you're going to honestly say you want to be thrown into a game called hope you get lucky? It's no game to play. All right, so I think I'll call that a video, even though it's a little short. You know, that's okay. Some of you will appreciate that. Anyway, so yeah, it's probably enough. So I will try, you know, this week to just get to the, you know, there's whatever, five subjects that are really important. The religion one, I guess you could argue having some reasonable bounds in terms of what you're going to believe when a science says so, you know, but science ain't all that. And then the whole philosophical mush, you know, where they kill God and then makes, you know, recreate God in the form of some synthetic, I can't figure out what value is bullshit or something. You know, the new God of hedonism. You know, personal, subjective, you know, hedonism. My subjective opinions are the only opinions worthy of anyone paying any attention to, because I've declared all other opinions to be less or equal to, you know, that there's no such thing as reality. There's just your perception of it. And that goes back to the science thing, where the science has sort of dropped the ball and turn the whole thing into mush by pretending, you know, that the universe is a some sort of relativistic mush where you can just pretend nothing real ever happens, and it somehow is a simulation that doesn't have any mechanical strict rules, you know, that kind of thing. don't really want to get into that conversation. But anyway. All right. So that's enough. So till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. Yeah. I think it's enough. I wish I could figure out. I mean, it's not even doing the frame rate right. I mean, what's this ghosty crap? Shouldn't be happening. And it won't fix it. You know, which is irritating. I mean, I should be able to fix that. You know, I should be able to just go to this exposure thing, this aperture crap, and I should just be able to increase this number, and it just won't let me do it, and it's just not working. Well, let's try that. No, there we go. Ah, it's working now. Okay. That's better. So, too bad. I figured it out after I made the video. Yeah, it's much better. Well, mostly better. Whatever. Doesn't really matter. Shouldn't be that important. Yeah, shouldn't be that important. Shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. There's a lot of shouldn't be's. And there are a lot of oughts. A lot of oughts. All right. Till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot.